Right now, save 50% off everything at Gap Factory and 50 to 70% off everything at Banana Republic Factory. That's right, 50% off or more on everything in stores and online. Save with tees starting at $6.99 and 40% off clearance at Gap Factory stores. And at Banana Republic Factory stores, fabulous tops start at $9.99 and 50% off clearance. Hurry! Search our store locator for your nearest Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory store or shop us online.
As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear. Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit wealthdaddysystem.com. That's www.weedsystem.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at JamesTDeshaies2.com and Lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at TLReflectionsJTD@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. How are you doing today, Tyrone?
Good evening. Glad to be back.
Hey, glad to have you back. And how are you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I just wanted to... glad to have Tyrone back because, you know, we got a lot going on in the mid-South where Texas is being heavily hit. And Sharon and I talked about, you know, a little bit about what our confidence was like or whether or not this Donald Trump administration was going to be able to handle this tragedy. And we, you know, it'll take a little while to figure out exactly how much damage is done and whether or not his administration is prepared to deal with it. Tyrone, what are your thoughts so far as you see this unfold over the last couple of days? Do you feel like Donald Trump is prepared to deal with the issues of governing a country where these kind of tragic things happen?
No, this man is not. No, he's not prepared. You know, he's I was watching him on television. No, no, he's just a big kid. He's just a big, silly kid, and he's not prepared for this country. But it's an unfortunate situation what's going on in Houston, but not to say but. It looks like Louisiana's going to be hit too. And so it's really an unfortunate situation, and I just think that – let me say this here. I got I got an email from one of the council people out of Houston to let me know that what they're saying to the people that is two or three times greater than what they were saying to the people. And so if the councilman and the mayor and the governor knew about that, that should have been made available to the president. They could have done many, many things in the beginning. They could have, they could have gotten the people out of the city. And I know that could have been a problem, but they could have done a number of things. They could have gotten people in shelters even before this happened, because they knew what was going to happen. Like I said, what they were telling the people, they were already informing the people, but they knew that it was even worse than what it is, or what people knew. And so they could have gotten people in shelters, made it a mandatory that you go into the shelters or whatever, because there are a lot of people losing their lives, and we don't even know, we don't even know how devastating it is. I know during Hurricane Katrina, I lived in Dallas, but I had 26 people living in my house, and it's really a sad situation. It's like it's starting all over again. It's you're scared. You don't know what to do. You're frustrated. You don't know. I can remember there were times when I couldn't even sleep at night because I didn't know where a lot of my family. I didn't know where they were. I didn't know where my sister was, my brother, and I used to have dreams where, because people were floating in the water. I had dreams that I saw my brother and sister just floating in the water dead, and I couldn't go to sleep many, many nights. And finally, I got all of them because I had to go to Houston and San Antonio, all the different places to pick up our people. But it's a sad, sad situation, and it's so unfortunate that we have somebody like Donald Trump in the office. You know, anybody who voted for that man, they ought to be ashamed of themselves because they knew he was a clown in the beginning. And so all we can do at this point now is just pray. Just pray. Pray for the best. Pray for, everybody, because it's a sad situation.
You know, it is tough to be in a situation where you need true leadership, and we find ourselves so unsure of what our leaders are going to bring to the table. And you're right, there are a lot of people out there now who understand how important their vote is. You can go into the voting booth and vote and act like it doesn't mean anything. But when these tragic things happen, that's when your vote really has some meaning, because that man needs to have people in place who are about the business of taking care of the people's business and not about foolishness. And right now we just don't have somebody that we can have confidence in who is taking care of the people's business. And so
does he still have a cabinet?
Well, you know that he's firing people all the time, so it's hard to keep up with who's working and who's not working.
How can he get the job done with so many people missing or firing or quitting? I mean, quitting every day. How can he run a government?
Well,
it's sad. It's pitiful. And you know, there is something I received today about September 1st. There's something going into effect about the homeowners insurance. And if you don't have a form in by September 1st, you're gonna miss out on a lot of coverage with your homeowners insurance. It's really a sad situation. I just spent a whole lot of money with somebody in Houston, and I spent over $10,000 with this person to do some work I need him to do. And, what do? You can't call the person. I have a son that's in Houston. I told my son on Friday, I called him. I said, listen, I said, you need to back up and take your family out. I said, I got an email from a council person who was, she was letting top people know, well, I guess you consider top people, to know that this is a serious situation. She didn't say leave or anything, but she says worse than what the information they were putting out. So I told him that, but he knows everything. He's Mr. Science. Man, I live in the Woodlands. And nothing like that gonna happen. You know, we in high ground, just setting up. You know, he's a gentleman makes probably $150,000 a year, and his wife probably makes about $100. And so, you know, he knows it all. You can't tell him nothing. And so I haven't heard from him since Friday. And so what I'm saying is the money that I spent with this guy, with this gentleman, or it's a company, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with that. I mean, he's upstanding, but, you know, he may not be able to do the work that he, you know, told that he was going to be able to do. I don't know. You know, he might. I don't know. It's a sad situation. It's pitiful. You know, and those people, okay, go on.
Cheryl, how is it looking in your end? Are you still getting rain, or has the wind picked up, or are you seeing any damage outside right now?
We've just been getting constant rain. I haven't seen any flooding or anything. I did talk to my sister in New Orleans, and she said that they have tornado warnings. My daughter didn't go to work because it is starting to flood in certain areas. I just saw just now where schools are going to be closed. I see she posted just now that school's going to be closing tomorrow, I guess in Orleans Parish, because that's where she lives. So they are they're preparing themselves because they know what it was like. And I just talked to my sister, and she just gassed up. She said, because she don't know, you know, what she's going to have to do. So everybody is just listening to the news and waiting and watching.
You know, Tyrone, people say to you, and you hear it all the time, and Cheryl and I was talking about it yesterday, and she said she always heeds the warning and leaves. But, you know, not everybody is in a position to just jump in their car and leave when they don't have the finances. I mean, you know, nobody's giving you free gas. Nobody's giving you free food. You know, and so how do you leave a place if you don't pay your rent for the month and you don't pay your light bill and you know, you may have paid all your bills and you ain't got no bill money? How do you just leave and for safer ground?
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. That's what happened to a lot of most of the people in New Orleans. They just didn't have the money, and it happened. It happened at the end of the month because that was my brother's birthday, August the 29th, Katrina. And so, you know, you have so many, you have a huge percentage of New Orleans that receive government assistance, Social Security, whatever, which comes around the first and the third. So they were just strung out there. But in this situation, they could have made it mandatory that people go to the shelters. Because they knew how bad this was going to be. They didn't know exactly, but they knew it was going to be devastating. If they're putting out that kind of information already about how bad it's going to be, and they know it's going to be two or three times, they should have put people in shelters. That's just my opinion. But nobody really knew. And now there's a feud between the governor. The governor suggested that you evacuate, and the mayor suggested that that the people stay put. And so, with him being a black man and a Democrat, you know, they're trying to cause confusion to put all the blame on him. So it's an unfortunate situation, and you know, time is going to take care of itself. Everybody's going to be, you know, eventually everybody's going to be all right. But it's going to take another 5-10 years to build that city back because it's going to get worse.
Well, one of the things Cheryl said yesterday, and this is when leadership comes into place. Understand that all school systems have all kind of buses. You got transit. You got buses, city buses. When you want people to evacuate and they may not have the gas or the money to do it, then leadership needs to step in and say, okay, we're going to use our public transportation and our school buses, and we're going to start at this particular place and start evacuating our citizens. And
right.
But if they're not willing to incur that cost, then you leave people at the mercy of the weather. So
yeah,
it's one thing to tell people to leave. It's another thing for them to be able to financially be able to do it if you're not going to give them any assistance.
Yes. And it's the same situation in terms of time. What today is the 27th? A lot of people are broke. Even if they had some money from the from the first or third, they're broke right now. And so they can't really leave, you know. And I understand now they're gouging the people, charging the people two and three times what would be the normal price. As I say, it's just a sad, sad situation. So it's going to take lots of prayer to get them through that. Because as we look at the television, it is really so sad. You got babies. And that's what I told my son. I said, listen, you got a three-year-old. You know, it's not like you don't have any money. Just get in your car, or take both of the cars, and you and your wife, y'all just go find a place. Go to Dallas. Find your place. And we're talking about Friday. So he could have done that, but, you know, he knows everything. Man, ain't nothing like that's going to happen. I live in the Woodlands. Yes, indeed.
Cassie, how are you doing this evening?
Good afternoon. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Did you have a wonderful trip?
Absolutely. Marvelous.
Well, you know, I'm glad to hear, you know, maybe one day I'll get to go to Canada. I've never been outside the country but once in my life. I've been outside the continental United States a couple of times. Well, Cassie, what are your thoughts about what's going on in Houston, and do we have confidence in our government to be able to handle this tragedy that is happening?
I am saddened of what I am seeing on the news, but I am also happy because the community and the people are coming together, you know, to help one another and make things happen for each other. That's what it's going to take. You can't depend on the government. You have to depend on who's there in your pathway, and that's what they're doing. Those people are denying themselves, and they are going out there and helping one another. And it's sad on one end because you have to wait until something tragic happens to come together, you know, but they are doing it. And that's the blessing on this situation, is that everybody is coming together. They're not looking at color. They're not looking at race. They're not looking at gender, but they are coming together as a family, a community of people, and helping one another. And that's a blessing. Now, on the other end is that, like someone was saying about they don't have any money. You know how they're walking in those swamps? I would gather my kids up and I would walk as far as I could go, or my family up as far as I can go, and hitch me a ride up out of there. There's no way I would stay there and wait to see what's going to happen. Because I believe somewhere along the way, somebody is going to help. If you take one step, somebody else is going to be there to help you along the way, and that's what's going to happen. But as long as we continue to pray, you know, and ask the Lord to cover and send help, and that they would find those people, then I believe that God is going to do that.
Cheryl, you know, we've been talking for a lot of weeks now about the division between races and in our country, but one thing for sure, bad weather and bad situations impact everybody. And so now we have a situation where there is no time to be looking at color, that these people have to come together and help each other and get out of this situation. So race and gender is not going to help you in this situation. We maybe it was meant to be, because we were so stuck on focusing on the division that now we see that all we can do is depend on each other.
You're absolutely right, because, you know, even when time of fear, that's what happens. We begin to let a whole lot of the issues, we lay them aside that we may have had with each other, and we start dealing with what we are facing at hand. And you've seen, you know, with people are helping each other out of situations, people are being rescued, doing whatever they could. And I want to say that, you know, it's for the majority of people. Now, you're going to still have your, you know, your people who are going to act up, whoever they are. But, you know, as a majority, people do come together at a time like this. And they put all kind, you know, they put anything else aside.
Yeah, and it's sad that what Tyrone has suggested, that there are people out there who will try to take advantage and make a profit of the welfare of others. Instead, they need to be out there trying to give stuff away and get their blessing on the other end instead of trying to just gouge people for whatever reason. You know, it is just unbelievable that we have business people and entrepreneurs who will take advantage of people's need to be safe and charge them an exorbitant amount because they think they got them over the rock in a hard place. So, Tyrone, what do you think our government should do about that in terms of somebody be out there gouging people at this kind of time and place?
Well, I don't know if it's a federal law or a state law, that if you're caught gouging people during a disaster, that that you can actually go to jail. You can get a charge for that. Somebody put that on the internet. Actually, they had the law listed. But that's not going to stop anything. You're still going to have greed. There are people who always, that's what they do. They take advantage of people when they're down and out. But there is a law, and I don't know if they're going to implement that law or not, but there is a law. But as Kathy said, we just have to continue to pray because this is an unfortunate situation. And the thing about it can happen anywhere, any city or any state, it can happen. We're in some last and evil days, and we don't know what else is going to happen. And just like it's happened in Houston, it could, you know, it happened in Louisiana one time before, and maybe again, I don't know for certain. It could happen here in Georgia, Florida, wherever. But I just, you know, when the consul person sent me that email, basically what it said was that they're saying that it's real bad or dangerous, whatever, but it's almost like two or three times more dangerous or disastrous in what they're saying. So it's so basically what she's saying, it's time to get out. If you can, get out, because it's going to be really, really bad. And if they knew that, because they had to know that for her to put that information out, if they already knew that, then the government, the federal government, should have known that. They should have been putting people in shelters. And they should have been better prepared in terms of, you know, the shelters and food and whatever else. Because, I mean, a lot of people can drown. This water, I mean, it's still raining. It hasn't stopped. It's still raining. A lot of people can drown. You know, you got lots of children, lots of elderly people. I saw a picture where the older folks' home, where people were in the bed or even wheelchairs who couldn't move, and the water was up to their waistline. So this is really devastating. This is going to be much worse than what we thought. And I don't say that to speak that on Houston, but it's a serious, it's really serious. And I just believe that the federal government and the governor and the mayor, if they had known that, because apparently it's due for me to get that kind of information, then, you know, we should have put people in shelter. There are a lot of things that they could have done that they didn't do. And I don't know all the things, but they could have done. You got a big city. How big is that? That city is huge. I think how many millions? I think they have 13 million people in Houston and the surrounding areas?
Well, one thing's for sure, you know, we are at the mercy of Mother Nature. You know, a lot of times we go around beating our chest and thinking about how important men are and mankind is. But the truth is that we're truly at the mercy of Mother Nature, and nothing we build, nothing that we have established can hold back the winds and disaster of what is done. So, Cheryl, we find ourselves just having to run away because it is nothing we can do to defend ourselves when Mother Nature decides she wants to erupt.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
There's not much that we can do. And, you know, and like we talked about yesterday when it was told that we should, you know, evacuate, and when Hurricane Katrina came, I did. You know, I didn't wait around to see if it was going to come. I wasn't in the traffic jam, you know, in the line of cars, just waiting anxiously, trying to get out. The traffic was just smoothly, you know, leaving out at that time. And we got to think about our lives, because if we don't have our life, the stuff just don't matter. And, I mean, stuff just really don't matter. And, I mean, I know even my life took a turn, you know, because of the loss. But I was just, you know, I had to thank God that myself and my children, my family were still alive, because, you know, we left. Everybody left. All the, you know, some of us left in different directions. But we left when we were able to leave.
You know, I've talked, I spoke about yesterday how frightening it is when a lot of this stuff seemingly to me always comes at night. And living here in Florida and going through a number of different hurricanes and tornadoes and bad weather and storms, it's just a scary thing. My house is surrounded by big, huge trees, and you know, I've been told, well, you need to get rid of those trees, you know. But people don't understand when one tree will cost you $3,000 or $4,000 to get rid of, you know, and you got four of them around your house. You know, it's just not an easy thing to just start, you know, getting rid of trees. And so you pray that those trees are healthy and can withstand the storm. But realizing that you're at the mercy of Mother Nature in it. And you don't know where these hurricanes are going to come from or what they're going to do. And they come every year, and we hope that we have fewer of them. But we usually see one, at least one major one every year, and it's just something that we have to deal with. So, Kathy, I know in your area you all deal with a lot of different kinds of weather issues and things that come up. And you know, it just, you know, it's going to come every year that you're going to have one of those moments where Mother Nature raises her head and we see how insignificant we are.
Yeah, we're actually, James, we're insignificant anyway, even without Mother Nature coming. You know, we don't have control over nothing at any given time. You know, a life can take us away, but as far as what you said about they know that that's going to happen, you know, every year, some people are just, you know, stuck in a situation where they don't want to move, you know, out of a place. I don't know if it's because of fear, them not knowing what's going to happen, but sometimes you just got to jump. You just got to take a chance and jump, and you never know what's on the other side until you go out and look.
And it, you know, we're at the first 30 minutes. Let me take a break right now, and sometimes I get caught up and won't take a break. So let me take a break, and we'll come right back and continue our conversation.
And made each one come true. something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again.
Just a thought. James T. DeShay. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. DeShay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamesTDeShay2.com. That's James D. Deshay, the number 2.com. Tyrone, do you think FEMA will be able to do a better job this time than it did before? Or are we as a society going to have to pick the ball up and start funneling nonprofit dollars in that direction in order for those people to recover?
I think FEMA should do a better job this time because they are prepared, or they've had the experience. They had the experience with Katrina. But we still going to have to pool our resources together, and we're calling on all the celebrities and the stars and this person, that person. You know, I mean, it's going to take a whole lot of money to rebuild that particular city and any other city. So I think FEMA should do a better job. But, you know, you still have you know, I was reading somewhere where that Mr. Trump had he wanted to cut money from FEMA, away from FEMA. He wanted to cut money for hurricanes and things like that. And I forgot exactly what they called it. And it just hadn't taken effect. So we'll get more money out of the government at this point as opposed to if it had already taken effect. And I think it's going to take effect, I don't know for certain, around September 15th. But we have a nut in the White House. We have somebody that's not, it's just, I think he has some mental problems. He's not responsible. But to say what FEMA's going to do, I just believe in my heart that they will be able to do a better job because, you know, in 2005 when Katrina occurred, they seem to be shocked and not prepared, but they should be prepared now for emergencies like this. I think they'll do a good job.
Kathy, do you see the private or nonprofit industry or churches getting involved and ready to lend assistance? I mean, just like in Detroit and in Flint, where a lot of people were sending water, do you think that the nonprofits are going to step up and do what they need to do to intervene on the behalf of these people?
They're already doing it. I was watching something on the news at one of the churches, and they're already preparing water and different stuff to take over there. See, somebody posted something on Facebook how the water has actually went up. So the stores are charging more for the water, but I have saw that some churches come together where they're getting stuff ready so that they can take over there once everything kind of settles down. And it's probably people already going over in there to the area that's safe to take that stuff. We just haven't heard about it yet. But I believe there's hope. I believe that the people are not just going to let the people sit by without.
And this is one of those times when we can't be dealing with whether they're immigrants and whether they're citizens and they're not citizens. These people are human beings. And we need to do whatever we can to make sure that they're safe. So, Cheryl, it ain't no time for politics right now. We have human beings who are in trouble, and we need to seek to reduce the amount of danger that they're in.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And not only that, I noticed that on the internet. I got an email from, now I'm saying Red Cross, you know, those who want to donate whatever amount that, but then you got to watch too. You got to make sure that you know that what you're giving to is legit. And because you're going to have where we, that we want to give, and money is needed, but we want to be able to give to the right places. So I think that, you know, we can come together and resources from all over will be, you know, coming to help, because it's going to take a long time. I mean, a long time. Because, see, New Orleans is not even back, you know, not even 90%. So imagine, you know, how long it's going to take to get this place back. And they haven't even really assessed the damage, you know, each individual yet, because they're still underwater. Yeah. So we're gonna get it together, and hopefully more people give and come together, and, you know, and help.
So Tyron, what have you know at this day and time, again, when we talk about leadership, we need our leaders to step up and get rid of all that rhetoric of division and talk about saving the lives of people who find themselves in this situation. Because you know what happens if, when you have these kind of floods, you have to be using bottled water, because you have no idea if those the city's water departments are working properly when you got this kind of dirty water all over the place.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. There again, it's a serious situation. But one of the things you had mentioned about will we be able to pull our resources together, one thing about Houston is Houston is the fourth largest city in the United States. They have over 150 major corporations. It's known for oil and gas and insurance companies and banks. So with all those major corporations, they can pool their resources together. So if everybody put their little nickels and dimes together, everybody pool their resources, because these large corporations, especially the oil companies and banks, they contribute what they're supposed to contribute. They have enough money to build a city. Money is not an issue. Money is not a problem there. It's just how you're going to do it and how soon you'll be able to do it, because we don't know how – we may not know the effects of this storm for another month or two, because, I mean, we've had unprecedented rainfall, and they're expecting – I mean, they're going to average about 6 feet, 6 feet of rain. So it's, you know, I mean, God knows what's happening. God knew this was going to happen a long time ago, even before the foundation of the world. So it's all going to work itself out. So I say to people, you know, no matter what it looks like, it's going to be all right. Because, you know, the people in New Orleans, and New Orleans' situation was not about the Hurricane Katrina, because the next day after Hurricane Katrina, you know, people outside drinking beer and whatever they do down there, have fun. But they blew up those levees. And Donald Trump's name was mentioned, because they said he was there just about a week or two before it occurred. And they were talking about, you know, making New Orleans the Las Vegas of the South. And so I heard Dick Gregory talk about that. They blew up those levees, and he, you know, he gave us pointers about how he gave us facts, but I'm assuming it's facts about how he knew that they blew up those levees. But you know, Houston's gonna come back. It'll come back. It's gonna take a time. It's gonna take a while, but it'll come back just like everything else. All is well. Be encouraged. It just takes time.
You know, it's sad that we have to wait to put away our differences when disasters happen. But that may be the case where we just forget about color and just decide that we got people down there that need assistance. You know, not too long ago, we talked about the homeless. Now, can you imagine what life is like down there with somebody who doesn't have any shelter or any money to get around? So, Kathy, right now, what most people are at the mercy, and where do they go? I mean, do they look for the nearest church or look for what? But you have hundreds and hundreds of homeless people who are living in the woods, and now they got
order all around them, and where do, you know, we have to make provision for these people when these kind of things happen.
You do you are you on speaker? Because I could hardly understand what you were saying. I could hear your voice, but I could hardly understand what you were saying.
Okay, let me get situated.
Okay,
okay. Now, what I was trying to say, exactly, when we want to the homeless to disappear, and we don't want to do what is necessary, provisions ought to be made for the homeless who don't have anywhere to go or anywhere to stay or any money to get around.
Right.
And there ought to be immediately help for these people who are there just waiting, who are at the mercy of the weather like that. So, Kathy, not only our government, but our churches need to open their doors when this kind of stuff happens, don't you think?
You talk to me?
Kathy, are you there, Kathy?
Oh.
Yes. The churches are opening their doors, James. They're doing it. I mean, people are trying to, I think now people are just trying to come together and see how they're going to help. Everybody needs to be on one accord. Not just one person can go out and do stuff. So I believe that they are gathering together to try to see how they're going to work this thing out. And there are going to be people that don't do anything, but there are going to be people that do help. And I believe that the churches are going to be one of those people to stand up. This is just my belief. I believe sometimes the Lord allowed things to happen so that the people can come together. Because as you see now, nobody is talking about racism, division, this minds, white or black or brown or what Trump has done. Right now, people are trying to save people's lives. People are trying to make sure people are okay. People are trying to get people in shelter and make sure that no one loses their life. And sometimes the Lord allows that to happen so we can come back to that place of prayer where we're on our face more than we're on anything else. And, you know, sometimes that's what it takes. I remember a passage in the Bible where the Lord sent the angel to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he asked Abraham, if I can find just 10 that are praying, I won't destroy this city. But he couldn't even find 10 people praying. You know what I'm saying? We do more talking than we do praying. We're not calling and seeking the Lord enough to stop these things. The Bible says all power and authority has been given to us, the believers. We're not even using the power that we have. We have the power to come together and change situations, and we're not even doing it. It's a sad situation. We need to remember our true reason for being here on this earth.
All right. Regina, what are your thoughts, and what are you seeing, and how is this playing out in South Carolina? And do you have in your government that they're going to do what they need to be done in order to get this situation solved?
Are you talking about the Houston situation, James? Good evening,
yes.
Everyone.
Yes, the Houston situation.
Okay, well, if you recall, in 2015, we went through this, and I'm not sure. Can you hear me clearly?
I hear you clearly.
Okay. We went through this in 2015 with the levees breaking. I had two of my parents to die from the waters rushing, people having to be rescued out of top windows and off of the roofs of buildings. Our schools were closed. Ironically, one of my nephews was a news reporter in Houston, and last week started his new job as the director of PR for the Houston Independent School System, which is the largest school district in Texas. And he would have been out there with the news people, but he's on the other side now, things logistically for the schools. And I was talking to his mother, and she said, well, why don't you call TJ? I said, no, you don't understand. He has to conserve his battery in his phone. When you talk to him, tell him to put the phone in the plastic bags. I said, what's going to happen, because so that if water happened to start rushing, they would at least have that preserved. I said, but told my aunt, I said, Sherita, the best thing that's going to come out of this is that they're going to come together. The people of Houston and the surrounding areas are going to come together. You won't hear anything about Charlottesville. You won't hear anything about the Ku Klux Klan. When it happened here, when my black hands reached out to a white person whose neck was so red till it was purple, they still received the sandwich I was giving them because I was giving them something that they needed. That's what's going to happen out there. The churches came together. Blacks and whites came together. And it was a sorrowful time, but it was a beautiful time. I lost things, but I didn't lose as much as some people lost. So I was working in the shelters. My daughter was at one. I was at another. When we finished that, we went to a housing project that lost everything. So that's what's going to happen out there in Houston. God doesn't make any mistakes.
Well, we need to really be prepared. Even us here, we probably need to talk about, and if you all hear of any way that we can support the different organizations there, and if we can box up some things and send people things that they need and what they need, we need to really get that out because, you know, we know that it's going to continue to happen, and we might be next. Let me just ask you this, Regina. Did you think that FEMA responded properly to you and that they're going to do even a better job this time?
FEMA's going to do just what FEMA can do. We just got money. My mother just had an interview to receive funds to do her house, which ironically was already done by this group out of the Midwest. I believe you all saw me talking about it during the summer. And so by the time the FEMA monies dropped for the people who needed it to repair their homes, those repairs have been made. So now you have this huge pot of money that our city is trying to figure out how can we use it because we have it. So they're going to go back and try to get the federal government to agree to allow them to use the money for some of the elderly who were misguided, who were taken advantage of. My mom, who someone, when I wasn't there, sold her a $14,000 HVAC unit, and she in turn had to use her car for collateral to get a loan to repay back Sears, and it was just a huge circle. But these are the kinds of stories that are happening now as a result of our 2015 flood. FEMA came in and told some people that had what we would consider to be a lot of damage know that that wasn't enough damage for them to give them any money. They're going to come in and offer to buy out houses. Once they buy out these houses, they will raise them, and that land will become green space so that they can fix it so that it won't happen again. It is so much involved with what's getting ready to happen in Houston till it is unreal. It's nothing like those people have ever experienced. Because now they're going to see the inner workings of the federal government, and it's not a pretty sight. As far as giving monies, the best way to help those folk is through the American Red Cross. That's the very best way to help those people.
So I guess we just need to call our local Red Cross and find out what it is that we can do as individuals and what they need and what we can bring to them for them to get it to the areas they need to get it to.
Now, there are going to be other churches and other places eventually, once the waters subside, that we can, you know, send boxes of clothes, boxes of new underwear. These people are devastated. We still have PTSD here when it starts raining and it gets cloudy. It's going to be stink. It is. Our people are here, a lot of us are not even watching the television. And you have all of Texas, not just Houston, but you have that coast down there. And even over in Louisiana, have you all heard that they're asking for federal aid also?
So, Cheryl, what are you hearing in regards to are there any areas in your area that have been flooded out yet? I know you talked about you expected more rain, but Regina is just saying to us that she's hearing that Louisiana is being impacted as well.
Right now, we don't have the flooding. I know that Lake Charles have a couple of inches of rain. I just got a text from my daughter saying that Tuesday in New Orleans that the schools, government, and other places are going to be closed on tomorrow. She also said that they're starting to barricade certain areas of the on the overpass where you don't drop down. There are low areas where a couple of weeks ago there were cars that were that got stuck when they dropped down on certain areas of the interstate, and cars were underwater there. And this was just a couple of weeks ago. So they're preparing for big time flooding in New Orleans right now.
They're already packing the bags, the sandbags.
Yeah. Yeah, she because she didn't even go into work today because she works in a very low area where there's a lot of flooding that's going on. So they're preparing. And like I said earlier, my other sister who lives across the river in Algiers and that part of Louisiana, she just gassed up a couple of hours ago preparing to leave. So
okay, and Tyrone, now you got family and houses and property in this area as well, don't you?
In New Orleans? I have I don't know. I don't have many people. I have some people in Texas, but it's not that many. Most of my people, probably 90% of my people, maybe 95%, here in New Orleans and Baton Rouge. So, it's an unfortunate situation because it looks like every year they get hit. If it's not New Orleans, and it doesn't take much for to flood New Orleans. I mean, it just a drop of rain. It appears, but you know, it's people go into survival mode, and you know, people will survive. They'll survive, and we, you know, like somebody was talking about, we come together. We do. We come together until after the flood is over, you know. Because I mean, after you get things that happened in New Orleans, people with money, most of the white folks in New Orleans, they were gone. They had already left the city with poor black people for the most part and poor white people. And we come together during the floods and things, and then we start separating ourselves. White folks over here and black folks over there. But people go into survival mode. And I know that they were getting ready to do a big project. I don't even know if they had started on that project between Houston and Dallas. And I can say that because I lived in Dallas for 20 years before I just moved here to Atlanta. But they were getting ready to do a rail system where in 30 minutes you can get back and forth to Houston to Dallas, or from Dallas to Houston in 30 minutes. Houston has a whole lot of money. But there again, we have a situation. God knew that this was going to happen before the foundation of the world, and we just have to get through it. We just have to continue to pray and pray and pray. And, you know, it just may be his way of getting our attention.
Andre, we hadn't heard from you or Joyce in a while, so I'm glad to have you back. But how is Joyce doing? Has she said anything about what the weather is like out there in Arizona? Are they being impacted at all?
I haven't heard. I tell you what, this is her opportunity to enjoy her birthday, so you probably won't hear from her for the next week and a half. So as you know, well, first of all, let me just say marvelous Monday to everyone. As you know, us Lewis girls, we celebrate. I celebrate for the month of July, and she celebrates at least a week. So you won't hear from her. So I'm sure they're all doing fine. I haven't heard anything differently. My son in Dallas and his family, they're doing fine. I thank the Lord for that. And we do have to just pray for those in Louisiana as well as Texas at the border that it really was impacted for flooding and more rain to come.
Yeah, and like I said, we're going to have to be proactive and reach out, like Regina says, to the Red Cross and get an idea of what it is that they need and make whatever donations we can make for them. I know that I wanted to be actively involved with buying a few cases of water or giving whatever it is that I can give. And we just need to do that across the country to play our role. And one of the things I know I hear every time there's a disaster, you know, we shouldn't give what's easy for us to give. We need to give what they need us to give. You know, sometimes we give too much of one thing and it ends up being a burden because it just ends up being trash. So we need to listen to the organizations and find out what it is that they need us to give them so that whatever we send doesn't become worthless.
I agree with that, and I also just like to remind everyone to make sure that they're making their donations to reputable organizations such that the funds, supplies, or whatever it is that you provide actually reach the destination that you're hoping that it would.
And so, Tyrone, let me just ask you, as we look to provide these gifts to these organizations, is it something we need to look at doing on a regular basis and not just in the midst of a catastrophe? Shouldn't we look at, you know, you talk a lot about giving 10%, but maybe we need to think about what we can give to the Red Cross on a regular basis so they are always prepared to do what they need to do.
I give $100 a month to Red Cross right now. I used to give even more years ago. Every month they take that out of my account. But the 10%, what I was talking about the rebuilding of Black community to educate us, to help us get houses. You know, people who are not in a position to reduce the crime. I was saying that perhaps because we make so much money. I'm talking about people as a whole. I mean, we last year made, I don't know exactly, $750 billion. I'm talking about that's huge. That's serious money. And so a lot of our actors and actresses and athletes, I just believe that if we can come together as a community and donate 10% of their income to build schools and to build houses, to build grocery stores or supermarkets, build hospitals, that we could provide jobs, we can help our young people with their education, and that we can. There's so much that we can do if we just took 10%, and certainly God is going to bless you for that. He's going to give you even more, but if you just took 10%, I'm talking about high dollar income people. Well, I'm talking about just the athletes, and not just them, but if they took 10% of their money that most of them throw away, and just devoted that to, gave to that particular function. There's so many things that we could accumulate. And I've been preaching that for years. I've been preaching that since 1987 when I started publishing a magazine. But I thought about this when when I was in contact with this this artist with Def Jam Records, and he was telling me, he said, "Man, I really need your help," he said, "because I spent $40,000 last night. I made it rain, and I wanted to, you know, what I wanted to say, I couldn't say, but anyway, you got people just throwing money away. But if they could just give a percentage, 10% of their income, and you know, give it to somebody that's reputable, or an organization that has board of directors and things like that, that we could do so much in our community. Because it's that time. There's no reason that we should be broke. There's no reason that we should be poor. There's no reason that we should be unemployed, because we earn enough money to be able to do those kind of things. But the problem is, how do you bring people together to be able to see that? And I think, I really believe in my heart, I really believe that we're moving in those directions. Because I know most of us who are older, it's a sad thing to see our young people unemployed. The sad thing to see them on drugs. The sad thing to see them going to jail, back and forth jail. It's a sad thing to see them renting for the rest of their lives. And so we can give back because we have the money. We have the money, so we can give back. So that's what I'm saying. And we can give back for anything. If you take a percentage of your income, and like I say, they take $100, but I need to increase that Red Cross, because the Red Cross plays a major role in so many different areas. And we can take a look at our budgets and see how can we give back, because certainly God's going to bless you for it. But that'd be real good, James. That not just when a catastrophe or a disaster happens, but to just give back every month for various different causes. You know, we got all kind of problems over in Haiti and Africa, and you know, we can just give back to make it better. Money makes a difference.
Cassie, we know that you have a nonprofit that you all work on giving young people shoes. What is the status of your nonprofit, and how do you raise funds so that you can help communities or help young people with getting shoes so that they can feel good about what they're wearing?
We did our donations through sponsorship, grants, and people. So we're usually online, you know, filling out forms, trying to get the donations, and word of mouth. And when we have our events, people usually
too tight on your car.
People usually ask about, you know, how can they get involved, and that's how we get our donations.
Well, I'm certainly going to have to be more mindful of that myself when you all have your campaigns and being able to provide some assistance for you to do what you're doing. And I think that on our show, we just have to be more conscious of what we can do on a regular basis, and not just when we have tragedies, but what we can be doing each and every year to make sure that good things and positive things are happening throughout our communities. Cheryl, what are some? I know that you say your mother and you provide a lot of support for churches in your areas. Are they looking to support the community the year round by doing special things in terms of foundations and assisting young people?
We do quite a bit. We get plenty a lot of donations. And just the last time it flooded, we took food and non-food to a distribution center that they set up in New Orleans. But right here, we had a year ago, we had a bad flood where a lot of people, even the school started late last year because the high school was flooded. And we gave, you know, a lot of clothes, made sure that household items were given to people who lost things, you know, as a result of the flood. So we do things locally in our community, and we also take loads of it out there to New Orleans and surrounding areas where they have centers set up where they're giving out things. So we do a good bit, you know, in that area where we, from the donations that we receive.
All right. We're going to take another break and we'll come back and we'll have our final thoughts for the day.
Help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know we've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is love.
Andre, what is your final thought for this evening? Are you there, Andre? Regina, what is your final thought for this evening?
I just pray that we're praying, and I know that we are, for the victims. And I want to say that I don't want it to be thought that if you send clothes and things, that they won't be appreciated, and household items, because many of the people left with just the clothes on their backs. So they really need and they appreciate whatever it is that you send. And I'm just so grateful that we're even talking about trying to do something for them. They really will appreciate it.
Cheryl, your final thought for this evening?
As usual, you know, I always say that it's a very good platform because it brings awareness to us in areas that everybody can contribute to that the next person may not be aware of, and that we all can do our part in helping whatever it is, because we don't want to imagine being there. But some of us, like myself, do know what it's like to be in their position. So I know what it means to get the help that, you know, that we can provide. So all I say is let everybody do their part.
All right. Tyrone, what is your final thoughts for this evening?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say to Kathy, and I don't know, she may already be doing this, but if you contact those large corporations like Nike's and people like that, they will provide you all the tennis shoes and shoes that you need. You can contact a number of those major corporations. They know that you're a nonprofit, and what you're trying to do, they will give you all the shoes that you need. Once again, James, thank you for this excellent subject that you were able to address that. And I want to leave you with this, is that prayer is the key that unlocks all doors. Let us just pray. Pray, people. Pray. Pray.
All right. Kathy, your final thought for this evening?
Thank you. I didn't get that information regarding who to contact for the shoes, but maybe later on you can give me that information. And I just want to piggyback on what you said about the prayer being the ultimate key to everything. And let us continue to pray for one another as well.
All right. Audrey, are you back with us?
I am, thank you. And I got in late from the start, so I'm not quite sure what the whole topic was, but I agree, prayer, there's power in prayer, and it makes a difference for sure. And, yeah, let us not only help, during the tragedy season, but as much as we can at all times. And also, I just want to say today, and I'm not sure if you had mentioned it already, James, today was the 54th anniversary of the march in they did it in Washington, D.C. for Martin Luther King in honor of his march 54 years ago. And then I know that they put out a link in which they asking ministers, 1,000 ministers, to unite again for justice. So let us be diligent in doing all that the Lord placed on our heart to do.
All right. Guys, I just want to just tell you that I continue to appreciate your support and know that you guys are busy doing all kind of things, but it's because of your commitment to the show that there's always someone here to discuss the kind of things that impact our lives now and in the future. And we just have to learn how to educate ourselves and get ourselves prepared and ready to do what it is that we need to do to make a difference in our communities, in our cities, in our states, and in our country. And only if we are talking to each other can we develop the kind of game plan that we need to be effective. So I look forward to continuing our efforts and to making things happen on our show now and in the future. I will see you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where your voice can be heard loud and clear.
Making love with you is all I wanna do. Loving you is more than just a dream come true. And everything that I do is out of loving you. Love and you. Love.
50% off everything at Gap Factory and 50 to 70% off everything at Banana Republic Factory. That's right, 50% off or more on everything in stores and online. Save with tees starting at $6.99 and 40% off clearance at Gap Factory stores. And at Banana Republic Factory stores, fabulous tops start at $9.99 and 50% off clearance. Hurry! Search our store locator for your nearest Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory store or shop us online. Right now, save 50% off everything at Gap Factory and 50 to 70% off everything at Banana Republic Factory. That's right, 50% off or more on everything in stores and online. Save with tees starting at $6.99 and 40% off clearance at Gap Factory stores. And at Banana Republic Factory stores, fabulous tops start at $9.99 and 50% off clearance. Hurry! Search our store locator for your nearest Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory store or shop us online.